Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Purport. The path of liberation, as recommended by all authorities, is to serve the Mahatma transcendentalists. As far as the Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Mahatmas are the pure devotees who are on the path to Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, and who always chant and hear the glories of the Lord, rather than talk of dry, profitless philosophy. This system of association has been recommended since time immemorial, but in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it is especially recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if one has no assets of favorable austerity, if he nevertheless takes shelter of the Mahatmas who are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he is sure to make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. The translation one more time. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path of bhakti, on the path back home, back to Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Larita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatarine Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you for coming today. I would like to first seek all of your blessings today. I have the great opportunity of giving today's morning class. Today is actually the first time I'm giving class at Bhaktivedanta Manor of Srimad Bhagavatam class. So I'm humbly seeking all of your blessings that we may be able to share something which... share something about Krishna consciousness with all of you. I would also like to thank the organizers as well who have given me the opportunity to speak. And I would also like to pray to Srimati Radharani, who is the proprietor of this month of Kartik, that she may be able to inspire all of us as we continue in our Krishna consciousness. So, today we are talking on the seventh chapter of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter, Sri Vidura is talking to Maitreya Muni, and he is asking various questions. So the chapter starts out with some questions, and then Maitreya immediately addresses those questions, and then Vidura continues to ask more questions about the Supreme Lord, the creation, and various other topics. But within these questions that Vidura is asking, he spends a couple of verses glorifying the devotees of the Lord. And so this verse is one of those verses. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita, and he says how this verse is linked to some of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. I was wondering, did anyone think of any particular verses that came to mind as we were reading this verse? So just to remind you, the verse is talking about association with devotees. It's talking about how the devotees are constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. So can anyone think of any verses that come to mind? Machita Matkata Prana, very nice. Very nice. Yes, thank you. Yes. Any Vaishnavis? Any verses? Okay. So two verses came to my mind, so I wanted to talk about them today as well. So we have in 7:19, the Lord is saying, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudulabha. Again, this word Mahatma comes up. Srila Prabhupada often quoted these two lines from the Bhagavad Gita. So here Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that he is the cause of all causes, and therefore the great souls, they surrender unto him. So in our Srimad Bhagavatam verse today, Vidura is stating that the Lord is the Lord of the demigods. And the demigods, they are looking after various aspects of the material creation. We've got Varuna, who's looking after the ocean, Mother Bhumi, who's looking after the planet Earth, Yamaraj, who's the god of death. But behind all of these personalities, behind all of these demigods, the Lord is the cause behind all of them. And this means that the Lord is the natural place for us to take shelter. In our lives, we have to take shelter of someone. We have to either find shelter of a material boss or maybe a temple commander. But behind all of these, there is some personality, some an initial cause. And so the Lord is the unfailing, the unwavering, the guaranteed shelter for all of us. So when we take shelter of the Lord, he is able to offer us shelter in all circumstances. The other verse that came to my mind is in 9:14, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dravataha. So, here the Lord is explaining that the devotees, the great souls, they're constantly engaged in chanting and hearing about the Lord. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotee is not an impersonalist. They like to glorify the personal aspects of the Lord. Today, in our verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada talks about how the great devotees, they don't like to talk about dry and profitless philosophy. When there is a person to talk about who has qualities, who has pastimes, who has activities, why would we want to reduce that person simply only to their energy? There is much more variety and taste when we are glorifying the personal aspect of the Lord. This reminded me of an experience that I had inevitably as a child, where I would inadvertently eat sand at the beach. And I can vividly recollect this, you know, dry and grinding taste in your mouth. Sand is not the type of grain that we want to eat at all. But this is in contrast to the softy ice creams that they also serve in the ice cream trucks there as well, which are very relishable. So this kind of is the same principle that we can apply here, that the devotees find this impersonal philosophy very dry, like sand. But when we come to the nectarian pastimes of Krishna, we find it very relishable, like ice cream, for obviously those who like ice cream. So that was kind of what I thought about when I was reading the Bhagavad Gita and studying for this verse, is these two verses, one where the Mahatmas are those who are constantly engaged in the Lord, but those who are also talking about the personal aspects of the Lord as well. So in this purport today, Srila Prabhupada also talks about the system of association. So I was asking myself, okay, what does this mean? This has been recommended by Mahaprabhu, it's been recommended by since time immemorial, but what is Srila Prabhupada referring to here when he says the system of association? So this is referring to the association with the pure devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that the self-realized souls, they can impart knowledge because they have seen the truth. So in this verse, Sri Vidura, he's stating that the devotees are constantly engaged in glorifying the Lord. So naturally, when we come into association with them, when we come in contact with them, then they also engage us in serving the Lord. They also engage us in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. I remember one event in my life when I was learning how to play kartals for the first time. It was a big kirtan here in the temple room. It was packed out. And I just remember I was sitting just over there and I was watching this devotee. He was playing fast beat on kartals. Dun, dun, dun. So I broke down each of the motions to be made to play fast beat and was playing them slowly but surely. As I practiced, I managed to build up my speed and build up my stamina. And this was a very long time ago. And then I got into my teenage years, you know, and teenagers, they have big egos. So I think I'm the best kartal player in the world, and Shivaram Swami, he's coming for his New Year's Eve kirtan, for his New Year's kirtans. And so, you know, me being the best kartal player in the world, sit right next to Shivaram Swami. So he's, you know, singing, and then he starts to pick up the pace, So, you know, half an hour goes by, I'm keeping up pace with him, playing kartals for him. 40 minutes go by, 1 hour goes by, Maharaj is still going, full pelt, fully ecstatic kirtan. And after maybe an hour and a half, I was like, I can't do this anymore, I can't keep playing. So I just put the kartals down. I'm still sitting next to him, put the kartals down to one side, and he looks at me. He waits 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then he tells me to play kartals again. So when we come in association with the devotees, because they are constantly glorifying the Lord, because they are always engaged in devotional service, they also engage us in the devotional service of the Lord as well. So we have many examples of this. Mine is a very simple example. But when a person comes in contact with a pure devotee, we can see that the pure devotee is a catalyst for transformation in the heart. Another example is of Mugrari the hunter and Narada Muni as well. So that is kind of some examples from time immemorial, some examples from the recent history. But where did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say about association with devotees? So I thought of three examples in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's relevant for this subject matter. The first is in Shikshastakam, the third verse, talks about Trinada Pisuni Chena. So the Lord is expressing how one should behave around devotees. In particular, we should approach devotees with a mood of humility. When we are able to have this humble mood, we are able to gain the hearts of the devotees. An example of this is when Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they came to meet Mahaprabhu for the first time in Ramakeli, and they took a straw between their teeth and they paid full dandavats to Mahaprabhu. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurinitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So they took a straw between their teeth and they bowed down, they paid full dandavats to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu at that time said that their humility was breaking his heart. So we are able to receive so much blessings and empowerment by approaching the devotees in a humble state of mind. The second one is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to bring out the intimacy and sweetness of Krishna consciousness with close associates. So in his interactions with Sri Ramananda Roy, the Lord was able to relish deeper and deeper aspects of love of Godhead, to the point at which both of them became mad after Krishna. In the Madhya Lila, in the 8th chapter, he says, Ami eka batul tumi dvitiya batula ate eva tomai amai hai samatula. So he's telling Ramananda Roy, I am mad and you are mad and we are both mad because we are engaging in these conversations about Sri Krishna and his pastimes. The third example that I thought of is that Lord Chaitanya's Krishna consciousness movement was a preaching mission. So in the 7th chapter of the Madhya Lila, he tells the Kurma Brahmana who wanted to come and travel with Mahaprabhu and help Mahaprabhu in spreading Krishna consciousness. He told the Kurma Brahmana just to stay where he is and just to preach the message of Krishna consciousness where he was there. So this is kind of teaching us that we should go from where we are. We should be authentic in our position. We shouldn't necessarily just go and travel out and if we're not at that stage of preaching. So, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us through these three pastimes, three different qualities that we can practice when we are associating with devotees. By applying these teachings in our lives, we are actually able to raise our conviction in our Krishna consciousness. And conviction is an important point today. So humility, it means that we can approach devotees in a humble mood. It maximizes the blessings and the empowerment that we get. When we have Krishnaized or Krishna-focused conversations, that enables us to go deeper in our love for the Lord. And finally, when we are authentic, when we are being real with the devotees, then we can be aided by those pure devotees in our Krishna consciousness where we are right now. So finally, there's one last question that I came up in my mind when I was reading this purport today, whilst I was preparing for this class. So Srila Prabhupada states in his purport that one need not perform any favorable austerity to start their journey in Krishna consciousness. And this actually contrasts the statement that is made by Vidura in the verse. Because Vidura is stating that without the austerities, one can hardly obtain the association of the devotees. So what does Srila Prabhupada mean when he is saying that one does not need to perform any austerities whatsoever? So Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to start our journey. Whatever point we are at right now, he's encouraging us to start our journey. He's lowering the bar of entry. So this allows us to have access to the pure devotees, and by doing so, we are able to automatically make progress. We can see by his own example, he made so many accommodations for us in the path of bhakti. One of them is the minimum of chanting 16 rounds every day. His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur set the standard for 64 rounds every day, but Srila Prabhupada's disciples protested that there wasn't enough time. So Srila Prabhupada made the minimum requirement of 16 rounds every day. So Srila Prabhupada was so accommodating for all of us. He considered that we were fallen conditioned souls, but we still needed to get access to bhakti. And this is the most amazing mercy that's available to us, because Lord Krishna accepts whatever little we can offer him on the strength that Srila Prabhupada gave us the instructions to carry out devotional service in this way. There is one very nice bhajan that comes to my mind when I was thinking about Lord Krishna accepting our offerings. And that is a bhajan by Bhaktivinod Thakur, Mama Mana Mandire. In this bhajan, one of the verses, verse 3, I'll just read the translation for you. But Bhaktivinod Thakur is appealing to the Lord to accept his offerings. So here Bhaktivinod Thakur is saying, "Come, son of Nanda, and then, O son of Nanda, I will offer you an arti ceremony with the lamplight of my love." So in this month of Kartik, everyone gets the opportunity to offer a lamp to Krishna. They don't even have to be following the regulative principles. They don't even have to be chanting Hare Krishna. You just have to come to the temple, do some achaman, and you get to offer a candle to the Lord. And because Srila Prabhupada established this process of Krishna consciousness and made it available to all of us, anyone can come and do that. There is no prior qualification required. So this is the kind of the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So a natural question to ask ourselves here is, okay, we have this process. Srila Prabhupada has given us this treasure of Krishna consciousness. But what can we do so that we can actually make this available to others? Srila Prabhupada has given us this way of Krishna consciousness that is so high in its peak, and it's able to what we're able to obtain, but it's also so low in the bar of entry as well. So what can we do to give our association to others? This verse is about association with the Mahatmas. So the most effective speakers are those who are able to convince their audience of some kind of transformation. That might be able to purchase some kind of product, maybe some kind of service, maybe sign up to some course, all sorts of different things. But these speakers all have one quality in common, and that is conviction. They are absolutely convinced of their product or their service and how that is able to benefit others. Conviction attracts attention. So as devotees, we have the most valuable product, devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And we are all convinced of its goodness for ourselves, but also for the world as well. So when we share our conviction with others, that will help them to come closer to Krishna. So if you were to take away one thing from this class is ask yourself the question, what can I do right now to become more convinced in my Krishna consciousness? What can I do right now to give my association to others? That can be externally in terms of outreach, preaching, book distribution, but that also can be internally to other devotees that may need that inspiration, that may need that fire to re-engage themselves in Krishna consciousness. So to conclude, today's class, we talked about two verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which taught us that devotees like to speak about the personal aspects of the Lord, and they are constantly engaged in chanting and glorifying Him. Then we talked about the system of association. So what does this mean? Who are we associating with? We talked about three different principles, three qualities that Lord Chaitanya emulated in his own interactions with devotees. That was of humility, which allows us to receive blessings, Krishnized conversations, which allows us to go deep in our Krishna consciousness, and authenticity, which allows us to receive the right kind of help in our Krishna consciousness for us right now. And then finally, we talked about how Srila Prabhupada lowered the bar for entry to have the association with devotees. And he has given that to all of us. He's given access to everyone, anyone who comes to the temple and anyone who meets a devotee anywhere. So I asked all of you to think about what can we do to become more convinced in our Krishna consciousness, and what can we do to give our association to more people and make this process of bhakti available to everyone. So thank you very much for listening. If there are any comments or any questions, any corrections, I would like to invite you to give them now.
Some devotees asked Prabhupada the question that our background wasn't very pure. We were breaking all four principles, and how is it that we have taken to Krishna consciousness? The Prabhupada said, "I am your good fortune." Mm. Mm. So if you follow what Prabhupada is saying in his books, we take the guidance of devotees who are following Prabhupada's teachings, then our good fortune is there.
Mm. Yes. Yes, Srila Prabhupada created our good fortune for all of us. He really was such an empowered personality that showered his mercy to everyone. It was very nice. We had a nice festival just 2 days ago, celebrating his disappearance day. And that goes to show how many people have been affected, will continue to be affected by his teachings that he's given in his books, but also the inspiration that he has given to his devotees, his disciples, his grand disciples, and going forward as well.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. I'm just on this aspect of conviction, particularly in our tradition, we emphasize a lot the power of faith. For one who's got complete faith in the Guru, then all the purports are revealed. For one, according to our faith, then we receive the proper result of the activity. You do parikram without faith, you don't get so much. So there's so much emphasis upon faith. And particularly this word conviction, I'm just wondering, is there a danger that we can artificially try and become convicted? Just because it seems it's like a sort of almost like a closed loop. It's like, okay, if you've got real conviction, if you've got real faith, then you'll experience something more. So it's almost, you know, something like the emperor's clothes, like this sort of thing.
Sure. From my perspective, it's not so much of a loop, but more of a spiral. And in the sense that when we have some faith, we get some experience in Krishna consciousness. For example, for many new people, kirtan is such an elevating experience for their consciousness. They're able to really feel Krishna's presence in kirtan. And so by that experience in bhakti, that develops more faith for us in Krishna. And then we want to go deeper. We start asking questions. okay, who is this person? What was that experience all about? What's behind this mantra that I'm chanting? So then we learn more and more. We might come into the association with devotees, and we might have a really deep conversation with a devotee. We reveal our heart. They give us some very pertinent and relevant instructions for us that helps us to establish that faith. And if we were to practice these instructions, sincerely giving our best effort, then we have more experiences of Krishna in our lives. And that, again, helps us to strengthen our conviction, helps us to strengthen our faith. When I was talking about conviction here, and I was talking about how people are able to sell things to others, it's because they have an experience of that product or service and how that product or service has really benefited them in their lives. So that conviction is what attracts the audience's attention. That's what drives the audience to making that purchase, to making that leap of faith, because they also feel like they want to have that experience as well.
It's based on the question that Arjun, it's in chapter 14, text 21. He inquired, "Oh, my dear Lord, which symptoms is one to be known who is transcendental to the three modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature?" And then Krishna answers, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, 'O son of Britta, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through these reactions of material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the south and regards alike happiness and distress, and looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards desirable and undesirable, and who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor, dishonor, who treats both friend and enemy, who has and has renounced all the material activities with persons, is said to be transcendental to the modes of nature." So certainly the surrendered soul can experience it, but there has to be this detachment. But he's determined through praise and blame. It doesn't matter who they are, friend or enemy. His material activities, the person, he's transcendental to these modes of material nature.
Thank you very much, Prayojana Prabhu. Yes, the Mahatma is one who is unwavering and undisturbed by the flows and ebbs of the material world. So I'm just conscious of time. Thank you very much, everybody, for hearing me. Thank you for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande Haribo.